We're going to turn to God's word now. Let's just bow our heads and let's pray. Father, thank you so much that you are a communicator. You are an amazing communicator. You communicate in such diverse ways, Lord, such unusual ways. Sometimes it seems peculiar ways to us, and yet it's crystal clear to other people. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you want to be known and you want to engage with us. And Lord, that's the best news ever. We praise your name for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's only the Christian that can really, really punch above their weight. Do you like that idea? I like the idea because there's a lot of big things out there. There's a lot of problems out there. There's a lot of difficulty out there. There's a lot of hardship out there. But Jesus Christ, when you're with Jesus Christ, you can punch way, way, way above your weight. That's good news, isn't it? No matter what comes your way, no matter the difficulty, no matter the hardship, God promises never to leave you nor forsake you. And he says you can punch way above your weight. If you want me to find those words in the Bible, well, they're not exactly there. But the story is there from Genesis to Revelation. You see small people doing great things. The only problem really arose for people was when they went along in their own strength, when they became too confident. Not necessarily complacent straight away, but confident that they were doing okay, that everything was okay. And you know, when you become too confident, then you've got a problem. Because then you can't punch above your weight. It is only in Christ that we have victory. Only in Christ that we can stand in the eye of the storm. Only in Christ that we can truly reach out to people. And we're reminded of that again and again in the way Jesus speaks in the book of Revelation. And we're going to look at how he speaks to a place called Sardis. And in Sardis, there were a lot of people that were not even born again. They were trusting in tradition. You'll get that in this country. You'll get it in every country. You'll get places that call themselves places, but they do not talk about Jesus Christ as if he is the only way to God. And he is. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And you'll have people give their own take on it. They allow all sorts of things into the church, all sorts of things that the Bible explicitly speaks against. And Jesus speaks out against that. He says, you're dead. But you don't have to be. And when you're alive and when you're in me, I will no ways rub your name out. And where we're looking today is a place called Sardis. Now, Sardis was a very popular place. It'd been a very wealthy place. And it was a two-tier city in an area that was known as there was a plain. So there's a whole plain there, and there's this two-tier city. So it's pretty good for protection, isn't it? You can see the enemy coming. You can see what's going on. You can see what's happening. You're almost, dare we say it, impregnable. And yet, on two occasions, they had been completely and utterly routed. Because they were reliant upon their strength and their position. They were reliant upon what they were doing. In fact, on one occasion, many years previously, decades before, Cyrus had actually just come up and walked in the doors because they were open. Now, that's a bit weird, isn't it? Mind you, having said that, he did a similar thing with Babylon, didn't he? Incredible. People were relying upon themselves. And so when Jesus speaks, he says, you know, I'll come like a thief in the night. And that would have had a lot of meaning to the people of the day because they knew what it was like to be caught unawares. They knew what it was like to suddenly find out that things were changing. But he also encouraged them. He says, you need to repent. You need to be born again. Having a knowledge of God does not save you. Having a relationship with Jesus Christ does. So let's just see what he actually says to them. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 3. And we're just going to read a few verses together. We've already given an outline. We can see what's going on here. But let's just read these words. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. But if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. And then he's turning and addressing a completely different group. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not sold their clothes. They'll walk with me dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. I'll never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You know, many years ago, I was called to take a position as a trustee in a charity that had gone well away from its Christian moorings. It had a reputation of being very good back in the 1930s. Some of you know where I'm going with this. It's just down the road from here in Dagenham. And yet since then, it sort of started bringing all sorts of things in, all sorts of belief systems, and I was asked to go and to be a trustee there and help get it back to its Christian moorings. Did I want to do it? No. But I remember sort of thinking, oh, well, I had prayed about that years ago, one of my flippant prayers, if I can help, Lord, call me along, and guess what? Here it is. But I'm pretty certain you don't want me to do this, Lord, because I'm really, really busy in this part of London. I have not got time to do this. Anyway, I wake up early one morning. I've got a meeting over there at 8 o'clock in the morning. So I leave at 6 o'clock in the morning to miss a lot of the traffic, cut right across London. And I get there and I sit down and I've got my breakfast in my car with me and a drink. I thought, I'll just do this. I'll have the drink. And then I'll find out exactly where this bloke lives on this map. And I suppose I better go and see what's going on. But God, I don't really want to do this. So I had the rest of my quiet time. I obviously had a quiet time. Listen, guys, have a quiet time. If you haven't got a quiet time, you're saying you're confident on your own. Have a quiet time. So I'd had my quiet time before I got there. But I gave up a lovely little prayer, sort of half-hearted prayer. Then I got the map out to look at the address and see where he lived. And guess what? I had parked less than 10 feet from his front door. Now, if you've lived in London, you'll see just how amazing that is, to be able to drive all the way across the city into the area of Dagenham and to find out that you've parked your car 10 foot from the front door. Now, is that not God saying something? And I said, well, I suppose you're saying something, Lord. I suppose. I was the most reluctant person there. And I went in there and I was mixing with people who had known each other for a minimum of 50 years. I was definitely the new boy. And there were some of them that were atheists, avowed atheists, and there are others that called themselves Christian, yet when I spoke, said I was born again. Oh yes, you've heard of people like that. It was absolutely awful. It was hard work. Did I go over there in the joy of the Lord each month? No, I have to be honest. It felt like God had me on the back of my shirt, and I was just going over there and wondering what was going on. And I was doing that for 9, 10, 11, 12 years, and slowly God started moving that place around. I was hated. And I don't use that as a too strong a word. I was hated by some of the people there in the so-called church, because I said, you're not born again. And then by the atheists who thought that I was going to side with them because I was challenging the church, then they had a pop at me as well. Oh, my goodness. And yet now that place is thriving. It is thriving. There are four churches meeting there. They've had a £2 million renovation program, all down to the glory of God. I didn't do that part. I knew that my part was to have a forehead as hard as flint, to till the ground, to prepare the ground, and then to step back. God did amazing things. Jesus is speaking to people here who have said that they believe in God, that they're serving God, but they are not born again. Scripture speaks about that. There are those that say, Lord, Lord, we did this in your name. And God says to them, what? I never knew you. Now listen to this, guys. He doesn't say, I used to know you. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, I used to know you, but now I don't know you. It says very clearly, I never knew you. Paul says on one occasion, not all Israel are Israel. Because just saying you're part of Israel didn't mean that you were a saved person. Many who came out of Egypt, Yeah, that's great. God's there. Thank you, God. I'm an Israelite. That's all right. Everything's going okay. They were not born again. And sometimes the most angry people I've found is people that you actually challenge and say, I'm very sorry. I don't want to be rude to you, but I don't think you're even born again. How dare you say that to me? Well, I say it in accordance with God's word. There's no fruit. There's nothing there at all. And it's because I care. There's nothing worse than growing up thinking that you're born again just because you've gone to church and sung a few nice songs. That does not get you saved. You need to repent. And what repent means is that you change position, metanoia. You move from a position of building your own life, building on your own success, building your own walls, building your own foundations, to saying that is completely wrong. Not just slightly wrong, that is completely wrong. It is offensive to God. God has sent his son Jesus Christ so that I can be born again, so that I can come into his kingdom, dare I say it, into his building program. That is the only way that you can be saved. And Jesus goes on and speaks about them being dressed in white, clothed in the work of Christ. I know today that I am perfectly accepted, but I also know that I'm imperfect in so many ways. And you haven't got to ask my wife that. You can just look. But I know that I am perfectly accepted. And the Bible says in Ephesians, I am seated where? In heavenly realms. That is my position. That is what Christ has done. But my life is now working out that position that I've been given. It's like if we suddenly give Mike Watts, let's say we'll give you the Isle of Wight. Would you like that, Mike? So the Isle of Wight belongs to you now. Lock, stock and barrel, it belongs to you. That's your position. You are the owner of the Isle of Wight. But your experience is very different. You need to go and appropriate and look after and work out how to use what's going on, don't you? That's the difference. Position, clothed in white. You are mine, he says. But the point that God drew my attention to for this morning, and I will only be a few minutes on this, is right at the beginning, because I think that can be confusing for some Christians. I want you to look at the beginning. These are the words of him who holds the seven spirits, or the sevenfold spirit. Well, what on earth's that all about? Surely it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we have the sevenfold spirit mentioned here. Well, in Sardis, there was a large synagogue, a large Jewish population. They'd know exactly what was being said, as would anybody who had genuinely been born again, coming from any old religious background. They would know what it means. And it's referring very clearly to perfection. The number seven was a number in Scripture that refers to perfection. For example, you have the 7 days of creation. Now, some people say it's 6 days. No, it's seven. Because it was an activity of God to rest on the seventh day, yes? He was doing something. He wasn't inactive. What was he doing? He was engaging with. He was being with. He was meeting with. He was walking with. He was resting with man. So we have the sevenfold work of creation. And then when you have the tabernacle is built in guess how many stages? Seven. I wonder why. The word tabernacle means to entwine. So no matter what is going on, God is willing to entwine, to meet with, to engage with, to walk with. And then you move on to the temple. And guess how many years the temple took to build? 7 years. And what is the temple called? The house of God. The house of God. A house of prayer. Now, quite seriously, guys, I'm touching on things here you can take a whole day to look at. And believe you me, I can. That's not the point. So you've got the 7 days of creation. You've got the 7 stages of the beginning of the tabernacle, God entwining with man. You've got the 7 years of the temple, the house of prayer, God amongst his people. And then we come to the work of the Messiah. And the work of the Messiah is spoken of as, guess what? The sevenfold Spirit. Let me read it out to you. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness the sash around his waist. You see, that's the true king. That's the true foundation. He is the security we're to have, the true blessing, the real strength, the real power, the real love, the real shepherd, the real friend who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And what is the root of his ministry? Well, Isaiah points quite clearly, the Spirit of the Lord will what? Rest on him. Everything flows out of this. Everything comes out of engagement with God. Have you seen that? The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. Maybe that's a new one to you. God engaging, God being with. It's not a simply a cessation of your own activities if you go home, sit down with a cup of coffee and do nothing. That is not what this is speaking about. It's about conscientiously stopping, thinking about the world and focusing upon Jesus. In the midst of the storm, even when you've fallen flat on your face, you can say this, but I know that I belong to Jesus. I know that I belong to the King of Kings. I know that I've been adopted into his family. I don't feel like it. My emotions are screaming at me. My situation's screaming at me. The enemy who's an accuser is screaming at me, trying to make me feel small and insignificant and a failure. But I want to say this, Lord, even though I've failed, even though I'm struggling, I want to say this, I belong to you. I belong to the King of Kings. I belong to the Lord of Lords. I am part of your work. And my foundation is rooted on the rock that is Christ Jesus. That is who I am. That is who I belong to. Have you ever done that, church? Have you done that? Or are you caught up with a Western culture of trying to work out what's going on as if you are some sort of spiritual detective that is suddenly going to be shown every detail of your life so that you can get it squeaky clean? No. The times I have been flat on my face, I feel absolutely useless. I felt like walking out the ministry, walking away. I've been hurt by people, damaged by people. My friends have turned their back on me. People I've sought to help have denied me or anything like that. And I've just sat there and said, but I belong to you. I belong to you. And you have never let me down. And you will never forsake me. And even if everybody else gets it wrong, you know that in my heart, I was trying my best for you, Lord. I was just wanting to do my very best for you. And so I know that I'm yours. Even if I drop dead this second, I know that I am yours. Now that's power. That's how you punch above your weight. That's how you succeed. That's how you move forward. That's how you grow even in a drought, or in our case, even in a flood. You can grow. Everything that Jesus did came out of resting with his Father. John 5 says this, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. So why is it then as Christians we try and do things on our own? We seem to think that we're some sort of battery pack, that we've got the Holy Spirit in us, and that I can go out and do anything I like whenever I like. Listen, did Jesus do anything he liked whenever he liked, yes or no? No. So why do we think we can? Where on earth does that come from? Doesn't come from God. Doesn't come from the Word of God. Doesn't come from him at all. Beautiful, beautiful statement. Sevenfold, this is the seven spirits, the sevenfold spirit of God, the one who is perfect. I am your foundation. I am your security. I am your building program. I am your strength. I am your power. I am your friend. I am the one who's drawn close. I will uplift you. Turn to me. And you know, there's something else that's very interesting there, just in that passage from Isaiah. It starts with the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, talking about the sevenfold work there, and finishes with, he will delight in the fear of the Lord. You see, when you really, really allow God to engage with you, you start seeing who God really is. When you really, really lay your life down, all your emotions, all your plans, and all your agendas, when you really, really start laying that down, then you see who Jesus Christ really is. Then you see who God is. Now, those people that want people to be scared of God, that is not what the Bible is about. The fear of the Lord. Jesus had the fear of the Lord. Do you think he's scared of himself? Do you think he's scared of his father? Of course he's not. It's nothing to do with that. It's seeing God as he is. And when you see God as he is, you're encouraged and challenged at the same time because you see yourself as you really are. Do you know what? I'm not yet perfect. I know you could all say, I know that. I'm not. But I know that I am perfectly accepted. And that's the news, isn't it? So what are you building your foundation on, church? What are you building on? Are you building on all the negative things that have happened to your life? Why? Show me in the Bible where it says you do that. Are you building it upon your emotions and how you feel? I don't feel very good today, therefore. Or are you building it upon the truth? I belong to him. I am clothed in the work of Christ. I am seated in heavenly realms. And do you know what? Everything around you may scream, no, you're not. You can just say, that's what I trust. That's what I live by. And yes, Father, I know that every so often I need to repent because I start building my own little bit, my own little area. But I know that that doesn't work, and yet I still keep building it. Do you know what I mean? You do, don't you? You know it's not going to work, but you still... Another brick there. Another bit there. And the God comes up and says, do you know who I am? I created the heavens and the earth. I intertwined with my people. I made a house of prayer. I sent my son, the sevenfold work of the Spirit. He is the true temple because that's where God meets with man. And do you not know that you yourselves are God's temple? And that God's Spirit lives in you. And so we're called, aren't we, to engage, which is to rest. To rest. And in resting, you find ordinary, everyday people. Hello, I'm one of them. Ordinary, everyday people that can punch way above their weight because they know the leading and the guidance. The Holy Spirit. Now, you got any questions on that passage? Come and ask them, because it's a big passage. Let me just touch a little bit of it. But any questions, come and ask it. Bring scriptures and things like that. Let's do that. Because I think this is beautiful. And I think this is encouraging. And I think it's ideal as we come around that table to recognize afresh, is it not, that we are called to rest, to engage, to lay down everything, to put it all down. And also to challenge ourselves. I don't know absolutely everybody here. Are you born again? Many came out of Israel. In Exodus we see, what does he say? Some of them, no, their names are wiped out. They weren't Israel at all. There are many who say they're church because of where they go. That does not make you a saved person. You're saved one way and one way alone. I bow my knee. I ask forgiveness. I pray that Jesus Christ comes into my life and be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, your word says in 1 John 5:13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the gift of life that you have given to each one of us. And Father, help us, encourage us, challenge us, we pray, that we would never seek to walk in our own strength, that we wouldn't become like so many unfortunately can, having a knowledge of God, but never being born again. Father, help us to reach out in your love, in your grace, and as we heard earlier, in your compassion, and know that we can stand even in the middle of a storm because you decree that it is so. Help us to remember afresh that everything Jesus did was out of his relationship with you. And Father, that the promise is that when we seek you first, that we can grow, even in a barren desert, even amidst difficulty and hardship. And as we come round this table, Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can feed on you, on all that you have done. Thank you that you are cleansed in grace, mercy, compassion, and love, that we are forgiven. And Father, as we take of this bread and we take of the fruit of the vine, help us, we pray. Touch our lives, we pray. Heal us, restore us, strengthen us, and uplift us. For we remember afresh who we belong to, that we belong to you this day. Amen. 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 Let's just sit for quietly for a moment, shall we? Let's sort of just sit and relax. Let's just rest. And then we'll just come and take.